All right, welcome to Second City Sports on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Lakina, and look who's back with us today.
Yes, I am back. Jay Pfeiffer in the house on Second City Sports. It's good to be back. How are you, Lakina?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm, you know, kind of busy, you know, but hey.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
That's
exactly.
A good thing in this business. So yeah, we're gonna get right to it. You know, one of our favorites on the line. You can listen to him on SB Nation Radio and also see him occasionally on CSN Chicago Sports Talk Live with David Kaplan and the gang at Jason Goss on Twitter. He is Jason Goss. Jason, how are you?
Excellent, Lakia. How's everybody doing today?
We're doing well now. Jason, let's get right to it. A lot of stuff we got to get into, so we're going to get right to it. Let's start with the NBA draft. That's tonight. All the various rumors about, is Jimmy Butler going to stay with the Bulls? Is he not? You know, now we know that D-Wade is opting in for next season. You know, will Butler be there or not? Where do you see the Bulls doing tonight?
Boy, it's really tough to peg. I think as far as Jimmy Butler goes, if they get a deal that blows them away, they'll take it. But I don't think they're just going to trade him to trade him. So the one team I would tend to look at is the Timberwolves, because I think Tom Thibodeau loves Jimmy Butler. And you think about last year, the Bulls did like Chris Dunn coming out of the into the draft, and the Timberwolves do have him now, so maybe he could be part of a deal. The T-Wolves have the 7th overall pick, but I don't know if that's enough to get Jimmy Butler. That's the problem. I don't know if Tom Thibodeau wants to part with any more of his young talent, so I think it's going to be difficult to move him. I think the Bulls ideally would like to. They want somebody to blow him away with an offer, but it doesn't sound like Butler wants to go to Cleveland. The Bulls probably don't want Kevin Love. Maybe the Suns could do it because they got the 4th overall pick, but is Phoenix willing to do that for Jimmy Butler? So I think this is one of those they probably could go down to, you know, right when the draft starts, or maybe as it goes into it, we'll see what happens. But I do think the Bulls want to move him deep down, but I just don't know if they're going to get the offer to do it.
Afternoon, Jason. It is Jason. Nice to talk to you again, sir. So, I mean, if you're Jimmy Butler, how are you feeling about all of this? You've basically been shopped around for, you know, almost a whole season last year. You know, they're continuously trying to put together packages to get you out of town. I mean, if you're this guy, you're coming off career highs in points, rebounds, and assists. I mean, how are you feeling at this point if you're him?
That's a good question, Jason. I actually think you're feeling okay because of the fact, look at the Bulls organization right now. What makes anybody think that the Bulls are turning the corner for the better? I mean, Dwayne Wade's in his mid-30s. He's picking up an option the Bulls probably don't want him to. Rajon Rondo's on the downside. You have Jimmy Butler, and what other real top young talent do the Bulls have right now? I mean, they're picking tonight if they stay put at number 16. You don't get impact players there usually. I know the Spurs found Kawhi Leonard, you know, down in the draft, and the best 16th pick overall is John Stockton, who's a Hall of Famer, but you're likely getting a role player at 16. So if you're Jimmy Butler, maybe you want to go.
Depending on how the Bulls, you know, what the Bulls do tonight, do they go up or do they stay at 16? What players are you looking at for them to take?
Well, I like Donovan Mitchell from Louisville. I mean, he's a guard. He's a guy who plays tough. He's a little undersized. I think he's like 6'2 or 6'3. I think he'd be a good player for them. Justin Jackson from North Carolina is another nice player for them. Those are the two guys that I kind of like in that spot. If they were to move up a little bit, they might be able to get somebody like Luke Kennard from Duke, but I don't think they're going to move up. If they're going to move up, they're going to move up probably into the top 7, maybe top 5. So I don't think they're just going to move up to get Kennard, and I think he's probably gone by at least the 13th or 14th pick. But I take a look at Mitchell or Jackson. Those are guys who could probably play right away and help them. And you think about Mitchell, he's a guy who can play point guard if you need him to, and we know that the Bulls, with Rajon Rondo, we actually don't know what's going to happen. They say they're going to pick that option up, but he's not their long-term solution there. So those are a couple of guys I kind of look at number 16 overall pick.
Yeah, leads me into the next question, Jason. Do you see the Bulls possibly making any trades to move up in that order, and what are you hearing?
I would think that the Bulls, if they're going to make a trade, it's going to be the Jimmy Butler deal. I mean, they really don't have anything else to move up with at this point. I mean, I guess you could trade picks for next year, but do they really want to do that? So I'm just a guess here. I think that if they were to move up, it would probably be no lower in the first round than get that number 7 overall pick from the Timberwolves. And then if they do that, who knows? Maybe they make another deal to try and move into the top 5. I mean, there's all the talk that they've worked some guys out that could be in the top 5. But, I mean, De'Aaron Fox is a guy that they supposedly like, but he's not going to be there. I mean, he's a guy who's a top five pick. I don't think he gets past the Kings at number five. So it gets more interesting if they make a deal with the Timberwolves. If they make a deal with the Suns, they get to number four. We'll see. But I don't think they move up just a few picks, both by you. Time will tell.
Talking to SB Nation's Jason Gosch. Now, Jason, what about the NBA draft as a whole? Who are the players that, you know, that people are not talking about that are not necessarily on the top in the top five, like your Fultz, your Balls, your, like you said, with De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah, I like De'Aaron Fox a lot. I think he's a good player. I think Malik Monk, who could be, you know, around 10, 11, 12, he'd be a player that would help some people. You know, you go to that. And I mentioned Justin Jackson. I think that's another guy who I think could help people. That's why I mentioned him from the Bulls. Those are three guys that I think could be really good. Jared Allen from Texas is really interesting because he's got a great wingspan, but he just doesn't have much muscle on him. He played for an undersized team, under a bad team last year. He's not undersized by any stretch of the imagination. He's 6'10", you know, but he needs to put some weight on. But he's a young guy who I think could help people if he gets down the road. But he's a project player, and I think that's what happens with guys lower in the draft. I mean, most of these guys are project players. One guy, though, that I really like is Josh Hart from Villanova. Everybody knows how good he was in college. He's considered a low first-round pick. It wouldn't stun me if the Spurs took him at 29 because he seems like a Spurs-type player. He's got good basketball DNA. He's a guy who can make things happen. He's a tough guy, and I think he's got some upside there that people are overlooking, and I think he's like that perfect fit for what Greg Popovich does. Smart player who can get things done.
Well, speaking of Greg Popovich and the Spurs, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about some of the news that's been, you know, coming along the wires here recently today. What do you make of the LaMarcus Aldridge situation and them, you know, looking to shop him and possibly move him along for some picks?
Well, that's interesting because I think maybe what they have done in San Antonio, they've seen LaMarcus Aldridge the last couple of years, and they don't think maybe as in a seven-game series they can beat the Warriors next year. So they need to shake things up. I know there's been those Chris Paul rumors to San Antonio. We'll have to see on that. So maybe they're looking to remake that roster, and Greg Popovich has decided that the roster as it's currently constituted, unless there's a major change, they are not going to beat the Warriors in a seven-game series. And they're one of the teams that you think about next year in the NBA. I mean, you think the Warriors are clearly the favorites again, but one team that you would, I guess, give a shot to knock them off if everybody's healthy is San Antonio. And you never bet against them, really, at least to be really competitive. So I can see that happening because I think maybe they think they need to shake up that roster, and Aldridge isn't the best fit for them, and he can bring something back.
Now, let's switch gears for a bit and talk some baseball, particularly the Cubs, because we just found out about an hour ago that the Cubs are sending down Schwarber to AAA Iowa. The Cubs have been struggling. They weren't able to sweep the Padres yesterday. Do you think they can right the ship?
I don't know if they're going to right the ship entirely, but I think they're going to win the division because of the rest of the competition is very good. I mean, the Brewers have played over their heads. Give them credit. But the Cardinals have had all kinds of issues this year. The Reds can't pitch at all. They're bad. And the Pirates are an under 500 team. So if the Cubs win 85 games, there's a very good chance they win that division. And you get in October, you never know. Now, here's the issues. First off, Schwarber had to go to AAA. I don't think it has to be a long-term thing, but baseball's a game of confidence, especially for hitters. You can't be setting this guy up for half the season of the plate hitting a .170 when he plays no defense in left field. He's an offensive player. If he's going to help you, it's the offense, and he's hurting the team right now. You go down to AAA if you're Kyle Schwarber. You get some swings. Hopefully you get some confidence, and you find what you had earlier in your career. I think he's probably down there for about a week, and they hope that happens. But the bigger issue for them is probably the starting pitching. Jake Arrieta's been inconsistent. John Lester's been okay. Hendricks is hurt. Lackey's got an ERA like 5, and Eddie Butler is, you know, a journeyman fifth starter. So you look at the Cubs starting pitching, I think that's their biggest issue right now. And you mentioned it, Lakina, that they didn't, you know, yesterday's a game, when you're really good, you win that game. But they haven't been able to string a lot of wins together this season. They got a tough road trip start tonight, an 11-game trip to Miami, to Washington, and then to Cincinnati. They always do great in Cincy. But Miami's playing a lot better, and the Nationals have had a good year. So if the starting pitching comes around, they should be okay. But even if they're not like they were last year, I think they still got a good chance to win the division.
Yeah, Jason, let's stick with that starting pitching and the aforementioned Jake Arrieta. You know, it was reported and it's been known he's been having some thumb issues. What are your thoughts on him pitching through that? I know he had a pretty decent start in that last start, but what are your thoughts on that injury and how you think it's affecting his performance?
Well, I don't think it's as much that injury for the entire year. I mean, certainly it's a cause for concern, but if he says he's ready to go and the trainers say he's ready to go, I'm fine with it, as long as the doctors and him want him out there. But I think the bigger concern is Jake Arrieta has thrown a lot of innings over the last 3 years, and his velocity is not what it was in 2015 when he had an amazing second half of the season and won the Cy Young. Not even what it was last year. Now, I still think he's an okay pitcher, but he's not nearly the same guy he was last year, at least through the first half of the season. And when you look at the rest of the staff, like I said, Hendricks is hurt. Lester's been good, but not great. And Lackey's got an ERA of 5, and then Eddie Butler's a journeyman. I mean, you need Jake Arrieta to be really good right now, and he's not. So that starting pitching is a big issue, I think, right now. If the Cubs are going to make a deal at the deadline, I think you look to add another starter.
Now, following up on what you just said with making a deal for another starter, who out there do you think can help the Cubs?
Boy, it's going to be interesting over the next month to see. I mean, you've got there's a lot of guys who you don't even know who if they're going to be out there yet. I mean, Teran's a guy that could help them. You think about maybe even Jaime Garcia with the Braves. He could probably help them. You go to the Royals, they might be looking to peddle some guys there. So there's some guys out there. Sonny Gray would be ideal, but I don't think with Oakland, but I don't know if the Cubs want to give up what it's going to take to get Sonny Gray. Plus, you've got the Astros right now, one of a great farm system. They've got the best record in baseball, but they've got all kinds of issues with their starting pitching. So starting pitching, I think this year is going to be a big premium at the deadline to get it. So what do you want to pay to bring in a starting pitcher? Another guy that's out might be out there is Garrett Cole with the Pirates, but the Pirates want to trade him in the division and they want to get in a bidding war with a team like the Astros who think they can win the World Series this year. So it's going to be tough. Those are just some names, but the Cubs are going to have to they're going to have to pay up if they want to get a frontline starting pitcher. So they might settle with us for a second tier guy because the cost is too high.
All right, well, let's inject a little bit of positivity for these Cubs, Jason. Anthony Rizzo, you know, obviously just had his hitting streak snapped yesterday, but he has been a bright spot, especially since Joe Maddon has moved him to the leadoff spot. Do you see him staying there for the rest of the year, or do you see any possible more shakeups in the lineup?
No, Maddon hasn't liked to keep the same lineup all season. He's really juggled things around. I don't think Rizzo leads off the entire year. I think at some point he probably hits a cold snap and they get him back in his usual spot, you know, in the middle of that order. The problem here is, again, too, you don't have a legitimate leadoff hitter. I mean, I guess they could put Albert Elmore there if they wanted to play him every day. I think the most likely guy to be the leadoff hitter when all is said and done, if they don't make a trade, is Ben Zobrist. I mean, he's a guy who makes a lot of contact. He knows how to get on base. Once he gets healthy, there's talk he might even be ready to go later this week. I don't think he becomes the leadoff hitter right away. But I think in August and September, if this roster, at least the position players, look the same, I think he's the leadoff hitter. And, you know, to say one more positive thing about the Cubs, though, too, for all the concerns, like I said, the division isn't very good. And if they get into October, even with this current roster, I mean, anything can happen. We know in October baseball, anything can happen. And when you look at the Cubs roster, these guys have all been there before. I think experience matters in October. So that's a positive, too. I mean, if the Cubs were in the NL West right now, they'd be 10 games out of first place and in fourth place in the division. And in the Central, they're right there towards the top. So those are some positives for you on the Cubs.
Exactly. We'll get you out here on this, Jason. The whole Mariano Hossa thing is sort of, you know, kind of where at first the news reports that he retired, but then he's only going to miss next season, the skin condition, that it's not going to be a big hit for the Blackhawks in the cap. What's going on here, you think?
I'd be very surprised if Marian Hossa plays again. At 38 years old, this is apparently a serious issue. Accomplished everything you could possibly want to accomplish in your career. So, I mean, he's multiple Stanley Cup winner, one of the best forwards of all time. I think this is simply a salary cap issue. If Marian Hossa retires, the way the NHL bargaining agreement is set up, Blackhawks have to take a huge salary cap hit over the next few years, and it limits their ability to sign players. if they stash him on the injured list for the next 4 years, there's a very good chance they get cap relief from the NHL and it won't hinder their ability to sign guys. I don't know if you guys realize this. I didn't even realize this, too, until doing more research. Chris Pronger hasn't played in the NHL since 2011, a very good defenseman for a number of years. But through last season, he was stashed on the injured list for both the Flyers for a few years, and they finished up on the Coyotes. And that was simply for salary cap issues. I think that's what happens with Hossa. I think that's why he didn't officially declare his retirement yesterday.
You can listen to him on SB Nation Radio. You can also see him occasionally on Sports Talk Live on CSN Chicago with David Kaplan. Jason, we got to get you again. Good stuff as always.
Thanks, Jason.
Lakina and Jason, always a pleasure. Have a great rest of your show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
absolutely.
You too.
Absolutely. Thanks. @JasonGotch on Twitter.